excited that the court actually agreed with the kind of case that they brought before them and ordered quite a comprehensive set of relief, which essentially ordered the government of Tanzania to provide compensation for the mutilations and attacks that they suffered, but more importantly, to ensure that the legislative framework is one that is able to ensure the prosecution of crimes committed against persons without penalty. More importantly, the court also ensured that the state party has a responsibility to provide for the health care and education of children without penalty who have been subjected to all kinds of discrimination. So we receive it with optimism, but we are very much aware that it will take much further engagement with the state party and other stakeholders to realize the fruits of this particular decision.
You mentioned the court imposed monetary damages. As we spoke the last time, the court itself does not have the power to enforce its own ruling. How sure are you that these people are going to receive this monetary damage?
As applicants who approach the court and who have been working for the rights of persons with albinism over the past decade, I think once we have now received the orders from the court, it is now incumbent on us to engage the state party, to get other stakeholders involved and to continuously advocate for the state party to implement these recommendations or the orders that have been made by the court. I think as litigants, we understand clearly that we are partners in the enforcement of human rights. And if there's any way that we can support the state party in fulfilling these obligations, we're willing to do so. Essentially, what the court had ordered the state party to do was to set up a compensation fund. And I think ideally a compensation fund is something that other interested third parties, private foundations are also able to contribute to. So we would have to engage the state party for them to initiate a process of setting up that compensation fund and perhaps also engage other third party foundations who are interested in the rights of persons with albinism. And if that is the way that we get the fund to actually be realized, then we are willing to go through the whole process of ensuring that this fund is actually set up and that persons who are affected by these acts of violence and mutilation actually do get compensated.
I found it very interesting. The court is ordering the Tanzanian government to revise its witchcraft laws. And these are laws, I think, that were put in place 1928 or so. What do you make of that?
So I think what is important from those witchcraft laws is the blanket criminalization of the practice of witchcraft, which essentially is a part of the colonial relic, where any kind of expression of African religion that was not Christianity or Islam was seen as something evil and not something that was worthy of being respected. Essentially, what the court is ordering the state to do is to only criminalize the harmful practices that may be associated with these kind of beliefs and not the beliefs themselves. So that you cannot criminalize, for instance, a person's belief in your ancestors or any kind of deity in that respect. But if there are any practices that are associated with those kind of belief systems that could potentially be harmful to other people, such as persons with albinism who are targeted for these kinds of mutilations for the purposes of these kinds of ritual practices, then that is the part that is supposed to be criminalized.